The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Here we go, baby. It is time for another week of the UAB Director's Chair. We call it that because it's the UAB Athletic Director, Mark Ingham, sitting there on the left-hand side of the screen. He's ready to go with Blaze behind him. And, of course, you can go to UABSports.com, UABSports.com. Check out everything that's going on in the UAB Athletic world, as well as their other show they do called The Inferno, which is a very good show, too. Mr. Landrum Roberts does a nice job doing that show, and Mark's also part of that. So you're now on two podcasts a week. You're turning into like the Joe Rogan of athletic directors.
Hey man, anything we can do to promote the place.
I understand. We're going to talk about some Rock and Roll Hall of Fame stuff. I love this because the nominees came out. There are 14 of them. Yeah. And you do not, you've not heard of any of these. They came out 2 days before Valentine's Day. And I love that. So I can throw, because I love to see your facial expression when I throw some of these out here. It's going to be really good. So we'll do that on the back end of this, a big podcast here. You can hear this podcast 5 days a week, by the way, on Tony Curry Radio, like you can, or other 18 shows. We're not up to 18 shows. We got room for one more. We're going to do 20. We're going to cap it at 20. That's all Tone the Bone can work, but thoroughly enjoy doing this every single week and catching up with you. Saw at the South Florida game. Nice win there. We're recording this show here on, what is it, the 20th or 21st?
20th?
20th today. And of course, you knocked off Rice last night. Real quick, you got a couple of big ball games coming up. Temple and Memphis. Talk about those two ball games down at Bartow Arena.
Yeah, well, you know, Temple is one of the all-time winningest basketball programs in the country. Like, they're top five all time in wins and in their history.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, and I would not have known that if I had not worked there.
I mean, but, with Duke, North Carolina, I mean, that's amazing to me. It really thinks of me, it thinks of the old Cheney days.
Yeah, and not just him, but the guy after him was a guy named Fran Dunphy, who did really well. And the guy before Cheney was a guy named Harry Litwack, and he is also in the Basketball Hall of Fame. So they had three straight coaches who were all three very successful for a long period of time. So anyway, but basketball is something that's really in their DNA as a university. They're a tough team. They, they've created some really tough matchups. They're kind of in the middle of the league right now, which is good. I mean, our league is pretty tough this year. I think a lot of us are very similar, can be beaten on any given night kind of thing. And so, yeah, 1 o'clock on Sunday, we need everybody to be here to watch us play the Temple Owls. And the following Sunday, we're going to bring our favorites, our favorite sister city to the northwest of Memphis down here. We're going to bring Memphis in here, who's currently number one in our league. So 3 p.m. the following Sunday, which will be March the 2nd. We need everybody here. We're trying to fill Bartow Arena, and we're doing pretty well in terms of ticket sales right now. You know, we're at about 70% sold out right now, which is a lot for us for the Memphis game. So please, if you've got one game, if you've been saying, man, I got to go to a game, I got to go. That's the game. That's the game. And we take it at all three because we've got Florida Atlantic on March the 6th, Thursday, March the 6th, which will be our last home game. We only have three left: Temple, Memphis, FAU.
That's crazy.
And they're all three going to be really good games.
Tigers could be in the top 10 by the time they come playing out of Bartow Arena, which would be unbelievable. And it's funny you mentioned Temple. I think of that. Temple could be 1-15. I want to see that game just because it's Temple. There's some teams like Creighton, Wichita State, that just have that name recognition that you're like, okay, I don't care where Temple's playing, I'm going to watch that team. And it says a lot about that program and what they've done, particularly since they are a top five winning program. It's pretty amazing stuff. Get down there and check it out. And of course, it was just fantastic. They had the Gene Bartow Coach's Classic this past week, the Bartow Classic, which was fantastic. I know you raised thousands and thousands of dollars there. Kudos to you for doing that. And that was a fantastic game to watch, too. And they get the victory there. Still feel like this team hasn't played its best ball yet. And if Andy was on with us, I'd say that. It's a little late in the season to be finding yourself. I'm not sure what piece is really missing as an athletic director. What do you think? What if there's one thing you could put your finger on, say we're missing that piece to be a championship team and you're mighty close, what would it be?
Ooh,
is it leadership? Well, is there a leadership?
I don't know. I don't want to say that. Andy would be better to answer that question. He likes all those guys individually. They just have not, you're right, they have not hit on all cylinders at the same time. There's certain...
There have been points where they played like 10-minute spurts where they have, where it's like knockdown, drag out, unbelievable, but we have not seen 40 minutes yet.
No, we haven't. Butta Johnson made some shots against Rice last night that were critical. He made, I think it was 3 3-pointers near the end of the game that were really timely and important. That's the guy that he needs to make a couple, two or three threes every night we play, though. And he really has started off the year kind of cold. He looks like a guy that's warming up, thank goodness, because we need him to. Alejandro Vasquez, another guy we need to be able to shoot outside. He made a couple last night, and he's a, for a guard, he's a real strong guy, and he plays a lot better inside than you'd ever think. Yaxel Lindeborg rolls out of bed with a double-double every day. I mean, this guy, I don't know, he's not leading the country, but he's top five in the country in the number of double-doubles that he's had.
He makes it look so easy. I mean, he doesn't get the props he deserves because he makes it look so easy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what he ended with last night. I know this, with a couple minutes to play, I looked at the box score, and he had 19 points and 14 rebounds.
Yeah.
So, like, that's not an easy thing to do, but he makes it look really easy. He's got to keep doing that. He probably, I bet Andy would tell you that he wishes Yaxel was a little more assertive because he thinks he could score more. He probably could score more, but he's so unselfish. It's weird to say you don't want him to be, but he's so unselfish. He's constantly trying to distribute to his teammates, but he gets double teamed every time he has the ball.
Yeah.
And Chris Coleman is a real important piece. If Chris Coleman has a good night, the team seems to have a good night. But like, you know, there's been certain games, South Florida, you mentioned the Bartow Classic. They had a really good, they probably have the best post player in the league.
I hadn't heard of Reynolds before that game. I know he's averaging, what was he, 12 or 13 points a ball game? He went close to 30 tonight.
But he missed a lot of games, Tony.
Dude, I mean, he was unbelievable. I mean, I could not believe I hadn't heard of him until that ball game, because he
just missed a lot of games. Yeah. And I don't know if it's an injury or some other situation of sickness, but he's not played every game. And he hasn't played as many minutes. He played more minutes against us than he's played in other games. But Chris Coleman got two early fouls. So like in the first 4 minutes, he got two fouls. We had to pull him out of the entire first half. So he was not a factor at all.
Yeah.
Now, Bradley Ezewiru Bradley's an interesting guy. He's a big bodied kid. I'm not sure he's quite as athletic as Chris. But when I say big, he looks like a defensive end. He's a muscular guy and has a remarkably good free throw. He is a remarkably good free throw shooter. So he frequently inside, he may not make his sort of 18-inch jumper because he'll get hacked or something, but he's really good at the line. These are people that if they play and then those perimeter guys play, we're tough.
I think that's the one thing that's when I say leadership, I don't mean there's not some really good, high talented leaders on that basketball team. There's just not that one guy that I feel like I can hang my jacket on. From every night I could look at the stat sheet and you may have a different leading scorer 4 or 5 games in a row, which I guess is good. I mean, Vasquez could go off. Coleman could go off. We know what Yaxel, we know what he can do. So I don't know if that's a good thing. I don't know if that's a bad thing. It certainly looks like your assist should be way up there with that type of ball handling.
We haven't even mentioned two new guys, Tyron Moore and Jabari McGee.
And Tony. I'm Tony, another guy that.
Yeah, those are guys who on certain nights have had, you know, player of the game type nights.
Yeah.
So your question was, you don't think we played our best basketball. And that's because we haven't had a game where you could say like 5 of those guys all played well. And even the other ones didn't have bad games. We seem to have a night where Vasquez will have a great night, but maybe Coleman is non-existent or the opposite of that. He'll have a great night and Butta Johnson can't make a shot from anywhere. You know, they haven't come together, which is a frustration for the team. I mean, those players who are working at it all the time, you know, we as fans get to sit and critique it and watch it. Those guys are the ones in the gym trying to make it happen. And so if they can get that kind of in sync here at the end of the season and going into the tournament, they're really hard to beat when they do that.
There's no doubt. It's going to be exciting to watch. I mean, if they get hot, look out. They're be a 2023-24 all over again. He is Mark Ingram, the UAB athletic director. This is called the UAB director's chair. We just picked it back up in 2024. So happy here. 2025, should I say. So happy to have you back on here on Tony Curry Radio, one of our most listened to shows. Tony Petitti, Greg Sankey, met again yesterday in New Orleans. They, of course, they had a historic meeting back in October. In case people have missed it, it's now the Big Ten, the SEC, and everyone else. That's just what it is. I'm not saying that to be funny. Those two conferences control everything. And it appears that, I don't know if it'll happen this year, but certainly by 2026, two things are going to happen. The CFP ranking will be doing the seeding, so we won't have these automatic bids where we have... We had four teams with byes. They all lost the first round. I mean, Boise State shouldn't have had an automatic. Arizona State shouldn't have been in there. So they're going to do some type of reseeding there, or just typically go by the CFP. The other thing is they want to expand it to 14 or 16 teams.
Yeah.
The Big Ten would get four automatic bids. The SEC would get four automatic bids. Four automatic bids, no matter how good or bad they are, they get four teams in. Big 12 gets two, ACC gets two, Notre Dame gets one, Group of Five gets one. That counts to 14, which means there may be a situation where you may have an at-large spot taken. There may be no at-large bids at all. If you go 14, of course, if we had 16, then you could certainly make that argument. You could do some at-large stuff. I want you to pretend that you're sitting there with Greg and Tony and you're the only other cat that's invited into this thing. And I want you to share your thoughts on what I've just shared with you, because that appears a lot of people are like, well, it's going to have to be one of these situations where unanimous has to be, these two are going to be ruling the world. They could change the laws on the unanimous bid if they wanted to. They could sit there and say, no, it's just us. We're running the show. So it's going to happen whether you like it or not. I know they have college football's best interest at hand. Your original thoughts on what I just shared with you?
Well, I don't know that they've got college football's best interest at hand. And I don't know Tony at all. I know Greg really well. And I'm a big fan of Greg's. I think he's a great guy. And he's a tremendous leader of that conference and in our industry. But what they have is at hand is their conference's best interest at hand. That's what they've got.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that anybody anymore has the sport of football's best interest. If they did, there's a number of things we would be doing differently if that was really the case. One being that we wouldn't have conferences that go from the East Coast to the West Coast and the North to the South. If it was in your best interest, it would be all regional based, like it was 30 years ago and beyond. But anyway, you know, these questions get, these proposals get made on the heels of a particular year where a conference might say, we should have had more teams in. Look at how good our conference was. The Big Ten is that this year. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the SEC if you look at their last 10 years, the SEC had a down year.
Yeah.
Right. Because Tennessee got in and frankly, they did not appear like a team that ought to be in it. You know, they went up and played at Ohio State. And I didn't think that. And look, you can have a bad day. You can have a bad game. That happens. But they didn't look like a team that had any business being on the field.
Yeah.
And so, you know, between them and Georgia and Alabama and LSU and Florida, and, you know, depends on the year, South Carolina,
yeah.
I would argue that this past year that they should have gotten in. But the point is, you make that decision or these conversations happen and you immediately reflect on the year you just had. Somebody's usually angry because they feel like that their school, let's just say if Greg felt like South Carolina got left out, you're doing that talking about what was it like last year, but next year you have no idea what that's going to be.
Sure.
Now with this whole paying players business, our rosters look completely different every single year. And you think you're going to be good next year, and you might be, but based on what you lost, what you're able to retain, what you couldn't retain. I mean, some of the best wealthiest programs in the country lose some of their very best players because they can only afford to keep so many.
Mm-hmm.
And so people are leaving to kind of spread their talent out around. And it's not about because they're more loyal to some other school. They're loyal to the almighty dollar and they go get it. And yep. so it's a funny thing. And I think it's, it is kind of hilarious that we've engineered it, that the Power Four schools are going to have the best teams. We've engineered it that way. And now we kind of speak about things like this playoff and go, well, there should only be one team from the group of five because, you know, we're really very different. We're that different because we engineered it that way starting 10 years ago.
Yeah.
10 years ago when we started providing cost of attendance and we created what we call autonomy legislation, that was the beginning of that, those changes. We were different before, but we were different. Now we're different. And the same thing with the playoff being the finances being what they are, how different they are, that only engineers the opportunity to have more money to pay those players in this new rev share model. So when we say that we're different, it's because we structured it like that.
Yep.
We structured us to be differently. And it wasn't by, you know, the choice of the group of five. It was done so and voted on by, I mean, our commissioner didn't even have a vote. It was done so by a vote of four. And now, poof, you know, a year ago, we had the college football playoff expansion conversation and this new contract. And when we were shown the financial details that, you know, the SEC, each school is getting $20 million more than they got the year before. And each school in the group of five is getting $200,000 more
yeah.
than we used to get. That's nice. How different that is. And what we were told, hey, there's this lawsuit that the Power Four conferences were all named in this lawsuit, and they're going to have to pay this massive amount of money. And that's why we're going to give them more so they have it and they can do that. Well, the lawsuit, though, wasn't with the college football playoff, and that's who was making that financial decision. The lawsuit was with the NCAA.
Yeah, and you're paying that, too.
And then the NCAA says, well, hey, I know that the group of five, y'all weren't named in it, but you've been receiving a distribution from the NCAA, so we're going to have you help pay it. Well, no, wait a minute. The college football playoff, which is a separate entity, they gave all those dollars to the Power Four conferences, the autonomy conferences, to pay that lawsuit. But now you want us to pay that lawsuit? They're paying too, but we're sharing in that?
Yeah.
Well, then let's go back and get a share of the CFP because, but like, it's like everybody has amnesia and doesn't remember that.
Sure. Yeah. You know,
so you know, not only did they get richer with the money they received, we became poorer by having to help them pay their lawsuit.
Yeah. And they're making 100 times more money than you are in this brand new proposal as well. For some reason, automatic bids gets on my nerves. I love automatic bids in March Madness. Yeah. I never could quite understand why you would get an automatic bid for winning your conference tournament when you have a much better display of your talent over the course of an entire season. I would think that your season conference champion should get the automatic bid, and then the conference champion should be looked upon maybe if it helps you with an at-large bid or maybe a seeding yeah. possibility, or maybe yeah. if you want to say a 13 and 18 Liberty should get in because they win their conference. But you're talking about a conference tournament over the course of 3 or 4 days, and that decides who gets into March Madness when another team could have been 20-4 and they just had a bad night, which I think sucks. And so, you know, this, yeah. but this automatic bid, when you're talking about only 16 teams in the Big Ten and the SEC, and I'm an SEC guy, are getting half the bids, or more than half the bids if you're only talking 14 teams, is kind of silly because I can tell you right now there's going to be a fourth SEC team that's not worthy of being in. There's going to be another team. As a fan, I'd much rather see two teams
yeah.
from the group of five get in as opposed to one. And yeah. who the hell has made Notre Dame so important that they're running their own show? They have their own spot. They not only get their own $20 million, but we're holding up all the rules and the expansion on Notre Dame. By the way, Notre Dame since 2012, six different times, they weren't even in the top 14. So there's a chance they won't make it in, but we're saving a seat at the table for them if they're good enough to get in just for Notre Dame, not for anybody else, just for Notre Dame. And I'm like, what is that all about?
Yeah, the flaws in the system this past year were that, and James Franklin from Penn State said this, and I thought I agree with him wholeheartedly, which is simply that Notre Dame didn't have to play a conference championship, but the rest of them did. Yep. And he said, look, I'm not bemoaning the fact that they didn't play one. What I'm saying is, if we're all, we should all have to play one, or we should, or none of us.
Hell yeah. You gave four automatic bids to teams that won their conference. And now you're telling me a team that doesn't even have to play a conference championship
didn't gets have in? To play. What if they had lost to whoever, if it was in the ACC, Clemson or Florida State or Miami or whoever they would have played in it? Yeah, and I think there are certain years where the SEC or the Big Ten or whoever might have four teams that ought to be in it. The flaw this year was the way that they did the seeding. I absolutely thought Boise should be in it. I didn't think Boise should be a one seed with a first round bye.
Yeah.
I didn't think they should have gotten that. You know, they probably should have played like Tennessee. They should have played Indiana or something like that should have happened in round one instead of. And you look at all the teams that had that first round bye, all four of them lost.
All of them did.
All four of them lost.
Yeah.
So why is that? So it tells you there's a seeding issue. I was shocked that Boise got that first round bye, and however that was determined, I thought that was a bit of a mistake in the way that they designed it. So, you know, they'll keep playing with it. I'm all for inclusion. I think I'm like you. I don't think they should have four automatics. I think that maybe they have two automatics, and then if each of those four have two automatics and the group of five gets an automatic, and then, okay, so that's that'd be nine of the 14. And then the next best five, what is the next best five? They should all get in, or you know, I don't know if it's a 14, but next best seven, if it's a 16,
like, I would say if the SEC is getting four in and the Big Ten's getting four in, you got to go 16. You got to go 16.
Well, they would still get that.
Yeah, but I mean,
they would probably get that.
Yeah, probably. But you got to go. You got to expand.
And it would 16. Flex. It would flex, yeah. And that's where the fairness comes in, or the lack of fairness comes in, is when you had four automatics. Well, I mean, the fourth SEC. I don't know what their rank was, but I'd love to see who was the fourth ranked SEC team prior to the playoff this year. Where were they? Who was it?
It's probably Alabama.
And what were they ranked? I don't know what
they were. They were actually in the top 14. They were in the number 11 or number 12. They would have been ranked high enough to make the playoffs, but
who was the top four Big Ten?
Clemson was the one I think that ended up getting Alabama because they ended up winning their conference. Because Clemson was rated outside Alabama, which is kind of funny.
But they're going to get two automatics based on what you're saying.
Yeah.
And the Big 12 is going to get two automatics. The point is, like, you're getting pretty deep now.
Yeah.
All for inclusion. You've heard me talk about this with the basketball tournament. It's such a funny excuse. It's a ridiculous excuse that I read an article the other day about the Masters and how we can't compete television in the Masters. Tony, we can do anything we want to do. Mm-hmm. We can, the NIT figures it out. As soon as the NCAA bracket is determined, the NIT not only does their bracket afterwards, they play a game 2 days later on a site in a venue that doesn't know that they're even going to have a game.
Yeah, they figured it out.
They figured it out.
Yeah.
The NCAA tournament can't do it, but the NIT can do it?
Sure they can. Or the CBA or anyone else that puts
tournaments on. It's silly. We could do it.
My classic rock buddy. We love talking classic rock, and I love the fact you have not heard of any of these 14 nominees for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Someone just called me the other day, and I'm like, didn't we just do the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? I'm like, yeah, they've got this down perfectly. So what they do is they do the nominations right at the beginning of the year. In April, they'll vote on the nominations, and then they do the ceremony itself later on this year, and then they will unveil the concert itself. So they're taking four spots up in the air, which is great because it makes it an annual thing. It's like college football. It used to be a 3-month thing. Now it's 12 months out of the year. It's fantastic. So I'm going to give you the name of a band. I want to get your initial thoughts. We're just going to go one by one quickly here.
Should they be in?
Yeah. Should they give me yay or nay? And I'll know right off the bat. Oasis.
No.
New Order.
No.
Chubby Checker.
Yes.
Outcast.
I'm an Outcast fan. I'm not sure they should be. Well, they're starting to water down the Hall of Fame if these people are the ones that are getting in. I mean, look, Outcast was a good band in the 90s. They had some hits. I don't know what you have to do to be worthy to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, all you got
to
do is have your first album at least 25 years ago. And by the way, that means that if your first album came out in the year 2000, that means you're able to be nominated into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Yes.
Just have the album come out.
Yeah, it doesn't have anything to do with number one hits or any or how many albums you've had or anything else. Just all you have to do is make sure you've had your first album at least 25 years old.
Based on that criteria, then yes, on Outkast.
Fish.
I'm not a Fish fan. They have a massive following, though. They probably should, yeah.
Billy Idol.
Yes.
Wow, that didn't take long. Black Crowes.
Yes.
Mana.
Who?
Joe Cocker.
Who did you say before?
Mana.
Spell that.
M-A-N-A.
Yeah, no, I don't know who that is.
Joe Cocker.
Yes.
Mariah Carey.
No, because it's not rock music.
Now don't pull this shit on don't be one of these goofballs that says it's not in the Rock and Roll. Dolly Parton's in the Rock and Roll of Fame. She deserves to be in the Rock and Roll. It's a musical thing. It's not just rock and roll.
Okay. If
it's Mariah Carey was in last year. She's got 29 number one hits or 18 number one hits, and she's not in the rock. I mean, she's going to get in.
If it's a music hall of fame, it's 100%.
It is a music hall of fame. I mean, we got blues artists in there. We got all kinds, you know.
Then yes.
Cyndi Lauper.
Yes.
Slam dunk. Thank you. I'm glad you said that. Bad Company.
Yes.
Soundgarden.
Yes.
White Stripes.
I like the White Stripes. Again, I'm not sure they're ready for that. I'm not sure they should get in yet, even though they maybe meet the criteria. Some of these others, when you think about Chubby Checker and Joe Cocker, I mean, Billy Idol, these guys have been doing it a lot longer. I'm not sure I'd put the White Stripes. Like, one day, probably the White Stripes should get in, but I don't think they should get in yet.
For me, I think it means everything to still be relevant when your vote comes up. Billy Idol's still touring. Billy Idol's had four or five hits. I mean, it's not like he's, you know, I mean, I know Ozzy Osbourne, he sang No More Tears for Ozzy Osbourne last year's induction. I remember Ozzy calling him a rock icon. Billy is a rock icon. Is he deserving to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? I'd say no.
Billy Idol?
Yeah. I don't get it. I mean, I put David Lee Roth in before I put Billy Idol in.
I would too.
There's a lot of guys in. I put Paul Rodgers in as a solo artist or just a solo singer before I did. And
can David Lee Roth go in as a solo? He's in with Van Halen.
He can go in as he's got, but that'll never happen because I think he only had three solo albums and certainly his stuff didn't do. He's in with Van Halen, but he'll never go in as solo ever. It'll never happen. It'd be like Lou
Graham.
No, it'd be like Lou Graham going in with Foreigner. It'll never happen. Never. Just as a character, as a knucklehead, as a cuckoo, it'd be great to have a little section. Skyscraper was a pretty big. He had California Girls, Just a Gigolo, not really. I mean, he had a few.
No, he had Yankee Rose was killer.
Yankee Rose was killer, but I mean, it wasn't a hit.
It was a hit.
Knuckle Bones wasn't a hit. I mean, Yankee Rose maybe top 40.
Yankee Rose was a big hit.
Maybe made the top 40. I'm gonna fight you on that one. Maybe made the top 40.
Yeah. I'm telling you, it's better than that.
I tell you what, I'll tell you what, I'm gonna look it up right now, and I'll tell you because I can almost tell you, Yankee Rose, top 40 Billboard, and it'll show up right there, my friend, because I'm pretty sure that thing. It's not even on here. Yankee Rose peaks at number 16.
Boom.
Yeah. Okay. We never even played the thing, and that's why I'm trying to figure out why that song would be so big. So I want to go through this.
Just Like Paradise was good.
So Chubby
Don't Be Crazy, Tobacco Road.
Yeah. Tell me why you think Chubby Checker should get in. I mean, he did the twist. I mean, it was a nationwide thing, but it's the only song he ever had. You know, he got his name is not from him. I mean, he got it from Fats Domino. I'm not saying that he shouldn't be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, have a little corner, have one of his records or one of his suits or something like that, but to actually be nominated to be actually in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Chubby Checker, come on.
Well, I didn't know that he only had one hit, but no. I'll say this.
He may have had more. I don't know. I went around the 60s.
And but maybe it's just his name, but like as soon as you said it, it's like I know who that is.
Yeah.
I know who that is. And you said some other ones I've never heard of.
Mata, by the way, is a some Mexican band that came out in 1980. And a lot of people are saying that because they put Chubby Checker and Outkast in there, they wanted to kind of round out the urban African-American type of music, put to hip hop or throw somebody else in there that has something to do with something about ethnicity or something like
good.
That.
I hadn't either.
Oasis, you can certainly make an argument, but they're still on the road. I mean, they're still playing. I think that has a lot to do with that. New Order, I'd probably say no. Outkast, not so sure. The Black Crowes, I think definitely. Joe Cocker, I'm not sure why he's not in. Mariah Carey, yeah, she's got, like I said, she's got 18 number one hits. She's got to be
in.
It's
funny that you say that about Joe Cocker. I'm kind of surprised she's not already in.
I am too. And so, you know, they have this list of snubs. Iron Maiden is still getting snubbed.
Why?
They're not in. I don't know why they're not in, but a lot of people would say, why isn't Iron Maiden in? Foreigner.
Listen, Iron Maiden should be in before every single person that you put on that list. their popularity and success is greater, particularly if it's rock and roll. Mariah Carey is, has had a remarkable career as an artist. But if you're talking about real rock music, Iron Maiden is.
No, I get. I mean,
than all of them.
No, I mean, they play shows in Europe right now. They sell out. They sell out shows in Europe
all the time. Japan.
Yeah. And I think it's just because of their stage presence. That was something like Alice Cooper. It was something we'd never seen before. It was blood, snakes, and monsters. And I mean, it's stuff we'd never seen. You went to the show just to see what kind of monsters they're going to have on stage. You didn't listen to the music. So I think that plays into that. I think that's definitely in. You know, it was Bad Company. Everyone was like, Bad Company, Bad Company, Bad Company. Everyone I've talked to says the top two singers of all time, of everybody, Beyonce, anybody, is Freddie Mercury and then Paul Rogers. Everyone I've talked to ever has always said Paul Rogers is maybe one of the greatest singers of our time.
Yeah.
So distinctive, did with The Firm, did with Bad Company, played with a million different bands. And so he certainly should be in solo. I'm glad he's getting in his Bad Company, but you know, you had this Brian Howe character that came in 1986 that took over with Simon Kurt and those guys because Paul wanted to go off and do his own thing. And so they kind of had Bad Company 1 and Bad Company 2. Bad Company 2, much like Van Halen 2, had a lot more hits than Bad Company 1. Mm. But everyone will remember the band for Bad Company 1. And then Foreigner was the next one that everyone said Foreigner, and they got in last year. And so
Who's the other snubs?
Motorhead. Well, Motorhead wasn't one of the snubs. Korn was another one of the snubs. Soundgarden was one of the snubs, and they got nominated. But I went through, and I was looking through, and I was like, there's got to be a couple of other ones that we're forgetting. What about Dan Fogelberg? Yes or no?
Well, I mean, you talk about a great writer. Dan Fogelberg is
in the Rock and Roll Fame, right?
Yeah, for sure.
What about America? Are you kidding? America was huge in the 70s and 80s.
Well, that's funny. I would think that, when you start a Hall of Fame, I'm not saying this is right. I'll tell you what we've done here at UAB Athletics. They started a Hall of Fame here that predates me. They had one or two ceremonies, and they weren't like in back-to-back years or something. And then there was this long gap.
Okay.
I don't know. When I say long, 5 or 8 years or something, and they hadn't had one. And one of our former football players came to me about it. Probably in my first or second year here. And he said, hey, I want to talk to you about the Athletics Hall of Fame. And I said, okay, you know, tell me about it. And this is, you know, you got to put yourself back. This is, we're trying to reinstate football and doing all this stuff, working with the NCAA to get all these special favors so we could build the team. And like Hall of Fame banquets were just not that they weren't important. They just were not front burner item. But this guy, he came to me and he is a bit of a historian. He had this, you know, great idea. Let's do this. And I said, you know what? It is a great idea. So we have, but we do it every other year, Tony. That's intentional. We don't do it every year because I've seen them get watered down at other schools where you just start saying stuff like, yeah, but Tony's such a good guy. But God, he's such a good guy. He, you know, comes to all our games. It's like, hey man, this is the Hall of Fame. Like, this should be the most elite group of people. And so, but our first objective was let's try to get dare I call it, the old guys. Let's try to get the old guys in first. Let's not put in, you know, if the criteria is, you know, have to have played, whether it's 5 or 10 or however many years ago, let's not forget these old guys, because then they get forgotten forever.
Sure.
And some of the people you just mentioned kind of fall into that. Dan Vogelberg, if they're not careful, people are going to be like, who?
Yeah. And the fact that he's not even with us anymore. You know, the other thing too, and I almost forgot to bring this up, Chubby Checker was nominated the first year before this building was ever built. He was actually nominated with Elvis Presley back in 1986 and did not get in.
Right.
And now is being nominated 39 years later. He's been nominated twice, the first year and then 39 years later. So, I mean, there's no method to the madness. And I get why they screw around with this. I understand why the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, it's like 12,000 writers and record label guys and artists that actually put on this thing. If you don't screw with people, people won't talk about you. So I get it. I mean, you don't want to be a slam dunk. Sometimes, you know, there's a reason why Derek Jeter, they will never have, you know, a unanimous bid into the Hall of Fame. A lot of writers believe that in Major League Baseball, you should not ever have a unanimous guy. There's got to be at least one person, and Derek Jeter's not unanimous. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's stupid. He's one of the best baseball players we've ever had, but they don't want to make it look like anyone's perfect, I guess. And so they haven't done that, but it'll be interesting. We'll see which ones get voted in, which ones don't. And you know, it's funny because I used to do my show from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I did about 6 or 7 years on Valentine's Day. We used to get a couple married up there, and this was in the late 80s, early 90s. And at that time, man, Clapton was still getting after it. The Stones still had new material. U2 was still doing it. We still had new material coming out from classic rock artists. And I'm trying to think, maybe even 5 years from now, what's this list going to look like? I don't even know who came out in 2000.
They're probably putting too many people in.
Is it going to be Bruno Mars? Is it going to be Kendrick Lamar? Is it going to be Beyonce? I mean, is it going to be, you know what I mean?
For sure. And their problem, the mistake is they've been putting in too many each year.
Yeah, I mean, it's a ton. I mean, that's 14's a lot. It doesn't mean they're all going to make it. So. All right, my man. Thank you so much. We'll catch up next week. UAVsports.com, UAVsports.com. We'll do it again next week, all right?
Come see the Blazers Sunday, and Thursday.
Sunday, Thursday.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.